The scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 8 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 8, verse 20 through 20. Listen to the word of the Lord. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. So far, the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this passage, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that as we look at this passage of Holy Scripture, that we may see your holy will for our lives and for the lives of all mankind. Lord, lead us and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are saved to serve. Salvation is a marvelous gift of God. And he saved us out of darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. The Apostle Paul is pretty frank in this passage. He is very, very frank. He doesn't really sugarcoat anything. He lays it out. And he makes it very clear. In fact, he emphasizes it by saying, do not be deceived. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. And then he mentions 10 sins. 10. There are more sins than the ones that he mentioned, but he mentions 10. Because 10 is a number of completion. It is really a summary of all the sins that mankind commits. And he says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he says, such were some of you. In other words, you're not there anymore. Praise God for that. You're not what you used to be. There's been a change. And there's been a change that was wrought by God himself. He takes us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that is the glorious fact of redemption. We aren't what we used to be. There's a change. And now He explains the change in the passage that we're looking at, the last verse. He explains the change. And He says, this is how it happened. Do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. That's why you're not what you used to be. You were bought with a price. Now, when we think of buying and selling, you think of material things. You think of groceries. You buy them, a car, a house, clothes. You buy that kind of thing. Now, Paul is not talking about that kind of thing. He's not talking about material things that you can measure and that you buy and sell. He says, you were bought with a price. So he's talking about people. Now, when people are bought, you know what that is? That's slavery. There was a time in this country in which there was slavery. And it really is a dark chapter in the history of the United States when there was slavery. And it was primarily in the southern part of the country, but it was a terrible time. You can read of it in books like Uncle Tom's Cabin, or James Michener's book, Chesapeake, which shows what it really was. Parents would be sold from each other. Wives would be sold, the husbands would be sold to someone else, and their kids would be sold to someone else. Now, in some cases, the masters were very gentle and kind. They were Christians, and they treated their slaves with dignity and with respect. But that was not the regular routine. It was a rough thing. These people had a lot of money invested in these slaves, and they treated them terrible. Some of you probably remember the series on television called Roots, and how the slaves were captured in Africa and taken over in horrible conditions, horrible, and then sold. I mean, they were, in fact, in our United States of America, a black person was considered 3/5 human. Officially, that was a decision of Congress. They were considered 3/5 human. I mean, it was terrible. It was an awful time. Now, the Apostle Paul uses that picture of slavery, saying you were bought with a price, to picture a spiritual redemption. You were bought with a price. You see, when he mentions in the first part of the passage I read all these 10 different sins, that's slavery. That is slavery. They may think, people who are described here may think that they are free as a bird. They can do just purely what they want to do. No one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to impose their morals on me. I'll live the way I want. I'll drink all I want. No one's going to tell me not to. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll do it my way. Remember the song of Frank Sinatra? I'll do it my way. That's honestly the way a lot of people live, and we're going to do it my way. And they live according to how Paul describes it. I mean, it really is sexually immoral. We are running into a pretty serious time in our country in which sexual aberrations and sin is committed on high places. And women are being paid off with taxpayer money. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's enough to make you blush. But this is what's happening in our country. These sins that Paul mentions are not just sins in Corinth, but they're sins in every age. Every age has got these things. Idolaters, adulterers, homosexuality, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. You've got it in every age. We've got it in our age too. But Paul says, listen, something has happened to you. Something has definitely happened to you. You ain't what you used to be. Excuse my English, but that is what he says. You're not what you used to be. Something has definitely happened to you. And do you know what has happened to you? You were bought with a price. You were taken out of slavery because sin, Jesus said, he that commits sin is a bond servant of sin. He's a bond servant of sin. Now what the Apostle Paul says here is this, that Jesus Christ has ransomed us out of sin. Psalm 40 describes it in the Old Testament way. He in Psalm 40 says, I waited for the Lord and he heard my cry. He took me out of a horrible pit. That's what these sins are. They're a horrible pit. And out of the miry clay, that's what sin is. It's horrible. It just clings to you. He says, Paul says, that's what you were, but you were washed. You were justified. You were sanctified by the Holy Spirit and by Jesus, and you're not what you used to be. You're bought with a price. Now that price is a huge price. The price that was paid for you and for me and for these precious children who were up here, the price that was paid was the blood of Jesus Christ. Like the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I'll do it my way. That's the way it is with people outside of Christ. They're doing it their own way. Miry clay in a pit. But Isaiah 53 says this, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord took our sin off us and laid it on his only begotten Son. And that was the price that was paid to get us out of that horrible pit and out of that miry clay and out of that slavery to sin. The blood of Jesus was shed for you and for me. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that the blood of Jesus covers all your sin and mine too? What a wonderful thing it is. And Jesus, who is without sin, was made to be sin on our account. 2 Corinthians 5:21, him who knew no sin, he was made to be sin on our account. God laid all of our sin on him and then punished him in our place. That is almost too good to be true. But it is. We were purchased, we were bought, we were taken out of slavery, out of that miry clay and that horrible pit, and we were brought into his fellowship. What a gospel! What a glorious story! This is true. It's the truth that him who knew no sin, God made to be sin on our account, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So Paul says you were bought with a price. You know, he says you were bought, and he adds the words "with a price." Adding those words "with a price" shows that it was an enormous price that was paid for your and my salvation. And the price was his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And like we saw on Thanksgiving morning from Psalm 116, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That is our expression of gratitude. It's to receive this wonderful gift of salvation that he has purchased for us upon the tree of the cross. Isaiah 53 describes it almost as if Isaiah saw it 700 years before it all happened. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that was upon us was put on him, and by his stripes we are healed. You know what those stripes mean? You must have seen sometime in your life pictures of someone who was striped, who was beaten, scourged, flogged. Jesus was. By his stripes, you and I are healed. That's what he paid to free us and to get us out of that horrible pit and out of that miry clay and out of that bondage to sin. And he brought us into his fellowship. Now he says this. You know why I did this? You know why I did this? Because I love you. He says, your body, my body. You know, it's not very strong. Our bodies last, what does Psalm 90 say? 70, if by me, reason of strength, 80. But we have a number of people who are over 80, some over 90. But in comparison to an eternity, that's not all that long. Our bodies are frail. but our bodies are precious. They're precious to the Lord. And do you know what our body is? It's a temple. It's a sanctuary. And that word temple or sanctuary, it doesn't talk about the outer sanctuary that was built in Jerusalem. The word temple here means the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. That's your body, is the Holy of Holies. It's the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's precious. It is not to be defiled. It's not to be burned up. It's not to be destroyed. It's not to be abused. It's not to be abused. You see, these various sins that Paul mentions are all abusing the body. Sexually immoral. Oh, that destroys the body. Greedy, drunkards destroys the body. Revilers, swindlers, all those things have an effect upon your body. And Paul says, I have redeemed you. Jesus has redeemed you out of that mess, out of that pit and miry clay, and he's brought you into fellowship with himself, and now the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your body. The Holy Spirit lives there. He lives there. Have you ever wondered why, when you pray, even silently, and we all do, I hope we do, I do, in the middle of the night, you wake up and you start praying. You're not making any sound. But do you know why the Lord can hear you? Because the Spirit is in His temple, which is your body. And the Holy Spirit hears you. He hears you pray. He knows your thoughts. That's why I said to the boys and girls, oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I may only look upon that which is honorable, which is truthful, which is pure. Oh, must we put a guard on our eyes? The Holy Spirit lives inside. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor with evil speaking be put away from you. All those things grieve the Holy Spirit who's within you. He's living in your body. That's His home. That's His home. It's the Spirit's home. And the Apostle Paul says the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how we find assurance. The Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirits that we are His children. And the Holy Spirit is holy, and He wants us to be holy too. So you were purchased with a great price. The consequence of this is this: you're not your own. You are not your own. That poet who says, I'm the master of my fate and I'm the captain of my soul. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. We are not the captain of our soul. We are not in charge. We belong body and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in safe hands. Believe me, we're in safe hands. I know whom I have believed, says Paul, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I am not my own. I belong to him. He watches over me. He cares for me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Bob and Sue are celebrating their 50th anniversary. Lori and I are 59th. I said to Lori this morning, you know what? I'd do it all over again. I'd do it all over again. We can honestly say our cup runs over. The Lord is so good. He is so good to us, and He is good to you too. Each one of us can say that. We sang, how vast the benefits divine which we in Christ possess. We are redeemed from sin and shame and called to holiness. 'Tis not for works that we have done. These all to Him we owe, but He of His electing love salvation doth bestow. Isn't that beautiful? That's who we are. That's who you are. So we're not our own. Now, says Paul, therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. Glorify Him. So we're here to glorify God. You know how that question goes, what's the chief end of man? The chief purpose of man? It's to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Really, when the Lord has taken us out of that horrible pit, and brought us onto His wonderful freedom. Do you know what He does? He puts a song in our heart. We enjoy Him. That's why it's so great to sing the great songs of faith. And to sing because we're happy. The joy of the Lord, says Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what it's all about. To be happy in the Lord and to know that we are not our own. We belong to Him. I don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. Jesus says, now listen. You see the sparrows out there? Not any of them are worried, and yet the Heavenly Father takes care of them. Even when it's snowy and cold, the Lord takes care of those sparrows. And how about the lilies of the field? They're more beautiful than Solomon in all of his glory. And the Lord takes care of them. You are so much more important than sparrows and lilies. The Lord will take care of you too. So don't worry. Don't worry. He'll care for you. You know why? Because He purchased us. Not only did He purchase us, He made us. He made us. One of the first times that I had the children's message, I told them about a sailboat. It was a sailboat. And it was owned by Billy Breinsma. And he wrote his initials on the sailboat, B.B., Billy Breinsma. And he put the sailboat in the river. And you know, the current got it, and away the sailboat went, and Billy, he wanted it so bad, but he lost it. And a couple weeks later, he was walking downtown, and here he sees that sailboat in a store window. And it's got BB on it. That's Billy Breinsma. That's my sailboat. So he goes to the clerk and he says, say that sailboat in your window, that's my sailboat. See, it's got my initials, Billy Breinsma, on it. Oh, says the guy, I bought that. Somebody found it by the side of the river and I bought that. So Billy says, now listen, it's really mine, but how much you want for it? So the clerk said, I'll sell it for what I put into it. So Billy bought it. He went home, got money from his folks, and he bought that sailboat. And he had that beautiful sailboat in his hand, and he says, now, he says to the sailboat, you're twice mine. I made you, and now I bought you. You know, that's exactly what the Lord says about you and me. I made you and I bought you. You were paid with the price of the Son of God. And so you're twice mine. I made you and I bought you. And so the apostle says, now listen, therefore, we are to glorify God in our bodies because they're not ours. They're the Lord's. He lives in them. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. All that I am, I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, has fashioned me. I give my maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. Bless us this day, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.